All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by The Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Oilers Nation Radio, episode 102. Headed into the Labor Day long weekend, I am Bag Milk. I'm here with Tyler Yaremchuk. Rick is here as well, and The Nation Dan is sitting in the mix as well. I want to start off today's podcast by thanking our friends at Sherwood Ford, the giant of beautiful Sherwood Park, Alberta, for making this all possible. You can go ahead and follow them on Twitter at Sherwood Ford and on Instagram at Sherwood Ford underscore the giant. Today, we are starting off the podcast with a Sherwood Ford giant question of the week, and I turn it over to Mr. Yaremchuk.
Hello. One of my favorite things in the NHL offseason is Frank Saravalli's trade bait board up on TSN.ca. Plenty of interesting names that I wouldn't mind seeing the Oilers acquire. The one Oiler who is currently on there that could be dealt is Adam Larsson. So this week's Sherwood Ford giant question of the week is, do you think Adam Larsson will be an Oiler next season? And I don't want to hear, you know, should they trade him? Is it a good idea to trade him? I just want to know, do you think they will trade Adam Larsson? I'm not sure who wants to take this one first, though.
I'll go. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm doing this off the top of my head. I probably should have pulled this up beforehand. This is the last year of Adam Larsson's contract, correct?
Yes.
All right. So if Adam Larsson is in the last year of his contract, in 2019-2020, he only played 49 games. Again, that was a truncated season, but he also missed some time. With the Oilers, he's only played a full season once, though in 2016-17, he only missed 3 games, to be fair. I think that he will not be, because the team or Ken Holland or Dave Tippett don't like the player, but they need the cap space, and I fear that his body is turning on him. There's word out on the street is that he's got a bad back. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. So I think that they're going to try to recoup A, cap space, or B, maybe some draft picks somewhere along there. Because we're seeing a lot of those trades already. I mean, St. Louis sent Jake Allen to Montreal. I don't know why Montreal wants him, to be honest. There's whatever. And then the Leafs made that captain trade, both cap space based. I'm going to say no. Rick, what do you think?
I think you're partly right. I think he's here, but I think he's only here for like half the season. They're going to start him off in the top six, make sure Bouchard and Benning are just fine playing the proper minutes they're going to need to play when he's gone. And then they will try and move him the new version of Christmas time, the midway of the year, whenever the hell that is, or around the trade deadline. But I think they're going to start him here just to make sure that the right side's taken care of. And then you can move him halfway through the season as you see fit.
Mr. Nation Dan?
I would be shocked if he doesn't play out the whole season with us. I just don't know. You're right, Bagbelk, when you say that there's like all of a sudden these trades are kind of popping up where teams are trying to move some money around. But I just don't think that the teams that are able to take on the contract like Larson's are, I just don't see it. Like, I think they would go out and they would grab somebody with bigger money even just to make that splash to try and make their team better. Like, Larson doesn't necessarily, you know, factor in as a top guy on most teams. So I don't know. I don't see it happening, but I could be wrong. I've been known to be wrong more often than not.
Tyler, this is your question. What do you think?
I'm going to agree with Dan here. I don't see it happening, and here's my thinking behind it. What is Adam Larson on the Oilers? He's a top-pairing defenseman. He plays on their top pair with Oscar Klefbom. You can argue, is he actually a number one defenseman or not? Yeah, he's probably not a legit top two D-man, but on the Oilers, he is. So if they're going to trade him, you need to have someone in the wings who can step up and fill that spot on the top pair, and I don't think the Oilers have that. And when they're out, you know, sending out feelers, seeing what the market is for Adam Larson, I think they're going to learn that the market for him is that of a number four defenseman. So to me, I just don't see it. If they trade him, they would need to find a way to fill that hole in the lineup, and I don't think they can. $4 million isn't a gross overpay for what Adam Larson is giving you, which is top 2 minutes, and he's a legitimate top four defenseman, in my opinion. So I think they're going to hold on to Larson. I think they'll probably look around and find that the value just isn't quite there on the trade market, and it's not worth moving a guy like that and taking the right side of your defense from, you know, pretty decent right now with Bear, Larson, and Benning to very inexperienced in a hurry if you move a guy like Larson. So I think Larson's going to stay. I think, you know, I'm not saying that they aren't going to look to move him. I just think at the end of the day, they're going to find he's more valuable on their team than whatever they would potentially get for him.
I think that the rumor itself, just having him appear on Saravalli's trade board, is interesting because you're right. The right side, if you're going to trade a defenseman, the reality is from the left side is the better bet. The Oilers are deeper on the left side than they are on the right side. It's just he's going into the last year of his contract and they need money. So that's the only reason I would. I don't disagree with anything you guys say. They don't have very much experience. Do you think that they could you see a scenario? And I was actually talking to Gregor about this because we were just bullshitting. And could you see a scenario where the Oilers look to fish for a guy like a Tyson Barrie, that's a UFA defenseman, and then if they are able to land him, look at trading Adam Larson?
Well, here's the issue I have with that sort of scenario playing out is, one, how much is Tyson Barrie going to cost you, right? Is it going to be
too much?
It's probably going to be more than $4 million, right?
And too many years.
And probably too many years, yeah. So you're going to go and sign a guy and try to upgrade there, even if you wanted to look at a guy like Sammy Vatanen, right? Like, he's probably going to cost you more than $4 million. So you're still spending more right there. And, I mean, here's the other thing. You mentioned, you know, Larson's body potentially giving out on him. He still is only 27 years old. Like, you're going to sign Barrie or Krug or Vatanen, and they're all older than Adam Larson is. I know he has a lot of miles because he came into the league at a very young age, but I just think you can hold on to Larson and his $4 million, and yeah, you could go sign Barrie, Vatanen. They're going to cost you $5 million, and if you're a team that's looking at trading for Adam Larson, why wouldn't you yourself just go out and sign Barrie or Vatanen if they're better defensemen? Why would you waste the time trading an asset to Edmonton for Larson when you could just go sign the upgrade in free agency?
This is a very Edmonton conversation, though, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like sometimes, to Tyler's point, the best idea, the best option is the one you already have.
Yeah.
But around here, that's not generally how it goes, right? It's like, okay, we have Jeff Petrie so we can trade Tom Gilbert. We have Justin Schultz so we can trade Jeff Petrie. Then we have to trade Justin Schultz because he's fighting above his weight class in a spot that he shouldn't be in. Speaking of which,
I think that's the problem, right? Is that we're a victim of a lot of just like bad moves or lateral moves. And we want something to just click and be like, you know, oh shit, Edmonton made a swap and Tyson Barrie is way better than what Adam Larson was for them. But at the end of the day, you know, sometimes the best move, we saw it with Tambellini, we saw it with Chiarelli. Sometimes the best move is just do nothing at all and just kind of stand pat. And I think Ken Holland recognizes that. I would hope that he recognizes that more than Chiarelli did. You know, you just, we don't need to hit the panic button right now. The replacement level is not going to be there for the amount of money that you're going to have to pay for them, like you guys already said. So yeah, I think we're victims of the culture that we've lived in.
That's why you wait to see what you actually have. If Bouchard, you know, cracks the lineup, and I don't see anywhere else he's going to play this year, like, I don't really know what's going to happen in the AHL, so I think you'd rather have him up here. If Bouchard comes out and has a really good season and puts up that, you know, kind of what we expect out of him, I think then you can end up looking at moving him in the long run. But it's definitely not something you want to do going into the season. But once you're 40, 50 games in and Bouchard's, you know, doing what we hope he's going to do, then I think you can actually look at moving him. And you never know what you're going to get at trade deadline time, right? Because I don't think anybody would be too upset having Benning as the third, or, you know, you can even bring in, find a guy who has only 1 year left on his deal and at the deadline as well.
Well, and the other thing too, like, even if Bouchard comes into camp and blows the doors off and shows he's ready, how often during a season are all six Oilers defensemen healthy? What, 20% of the time, maybe? Like, there's, every team has that problem. Every team always has a defenseman go down at some point. So even though it might be Bouchard is your seventh, even when he's ready and he's not going to the American League, maybe him and Benning are, you know, platooning on that third pair, or you're swapping a guy to his offside and Jones takes a shift or a game off here and there. Like, it's better to have seven really good NHL defensemen, yeah, than, let's say, you move Larson and maybe Bouchard is still struggling a little bit. And like Bagged Milk said with Justin Schultz, maybe he's still trying to punch above his weight class here. What happens if you move Larson, Bouchard's not ready, and someone gets hurt? Like,
for sure. Right? Bouch would have to do something like what Bear was looking like last year. I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility, because we just saw it happen. So there is an opportunity for it to happen. But yes, you do have to wait, and you do have to be really fucking sure that you can, because outside of, you know, I don't think Russell's around. So if you did move Larson and somebody got hurt, I don't know who you bring up as the first call up.
You're like praying Lagesson can, you know, start to handle NHL minutes, or you're trying to find a veteran somewhere on the free agent market.
Yeah, and you might be able to find a veteran, you know, 35, 36 for a 1 year type of a deal. But as for now, for going into the season, I think you roll with what you have. You get rid of Russell, roll what you have on the right hand side, and yeah, you kind of see what happens throughout the season.
I just want to mention, I don't think the Oilers should trade Adam Larson right now. They just, like Tyler said, like everybody said, the right-hand side's just not experienced enough. Like, Ethan Bear could be a guy that, you know, really takes another jump, and we're going to talk about him in a little bit, but, like, we don't know that yet.
And you can actually cycle Larson in and out of the lineup this year, too, and kind of save his back to try and make him as fresh as possible for the playoffs. Right? Like, if Bouchard comes in and has a good year and Benning's playing well as well, then you don't need Larson to be playing all 60 or 80 or whatever many games we're playing next year. I think you can then try and sit him and rest him throughout the season just to have him ready for the playoffs.
It's going to be interesting, man. There's going to be a lot of cap decisions that need to get made. I'm glad I don't have to do them. I agree, though. Like, to me, if you're actually going to move a defenseman, Russell's the one that, you know, he makes 1.5 in real dollars, $4 million cap hit. There's a budget team out there that would probably look at doing that.
Well, Russell has to go. You can't start the year with Russell.
I think it was Elliot Friedman. I think it was Friedman who wrote in 31 Thoughts. It might have been on another one of those sort of insider roundup things. But there are going to be a handful of teams, and a lot more than previous years, that are running on internal caps. Teams that are sitting there going, okay, yes, we can spend, you know, $75 million against the cap, but we need to have our salaries down by 67, 68 million. Pittsburgh's one of those teams that's going to be thinking about doing that. Columbus, I've heard, is one of those teams, and they rattled off six or seven. I can't find the article here on the fly, but that's where a guy like Russell is going to be easy to move. You're going to go to a team and say, listen, you can sell this to your fan base as we're bringing in an experienced NHL defenseman with one more year left on his deal. You know, it's going to give you the illusion that you're spending close to the cap, when in reality you're taking $1.5 million in real money, and the Oilers are getting a huge break on their cap as well.
And who doesn't love a cowboy, right?
Yeah. The thing that's interesting there, though, is that Chris Russell has that stupid modified no trade clause where it's 15 teams he can say no to. So if Chris Russell doesn't want to go anywhere, really he's probably not, because he could just go around, find those teams that have the internal caps that could probably afford to acquire him, and he could just say, I don't want to go there, 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 and there, and the Oilers are going to be handcuffed.
Yeah, why would you want to play for a team that wants to move you, though?
Because why would you want to move right now? You could just sit there
You've only got one year left. You got a fresh start. I think there's a lot more positives to going to a team than sticking around where they don't really want you.
But if Russell,
I mean, to be fair, you can fucking put them in the minors, man.
You could.
Sure, it only saves you $1 million, but it saves you $1 million.
But if Russell sits there and goes, you know what, I'm going to be, you know, almost 35 when I'm an unrestricted free agent. You know, maybe I'm probably not going to get another deal here. I'm probably done with my career. I don't want to have to go move to Columbus. I don't want to move to Pittsburgh in the middle of a pandemic. I want to stay in Edmonton. And that's, hey, Chiarelli gave him the deal. Chris Russell's agent negotiated that in there. It's within his right to sit there, cross his arms, and say, I'm not going anywhere. So that's something to consider as well.
Speaking of Pete, I was a little bummed to see he didn't get that job in Florida, you know?
I was pulling for him.
Don't play with fire, boys. Don't play with fire. He screwed our team over way too many times. That karma can still bite us in the ass. He can continue to do it from outside of our own fucking head office.
Ship him to the KHL and never see him again.
I was just dreaming of a scenario where he gets that job in Florida and you get like a Huberdeau for Nurse trade or something absurd.
Yeah,
like
just
that.
Like we get Barkov because he really loves Nurse. Jeremy?
Would have been nice.
There's your assured forward giant question of the week. I don't even know if he really came to a resolution there, did we, boy?
Not really. I think we kind of said he's going to be here to start the year at the very least.
And I'm just, I'm being the contrarian. I'm going to say no. Adam Larson, I will miss your apps. I'm sorry.
Man, I'm telling you, that's $4 million that you got to put out there in terms of a third line. It's going to be tempting.
Absolutely.
If somebody came out there trying to get Larson for cheap, and you had someone out there UFA style who, you know, you kind of feel like sits there at your third line center, that you'd rather have the money go there, it's going to be tempting. But I think they're going to hold on and wait for a while yet.
Looking ahead, I want to go ahead and thank our friends at Tourism Jasper. Check out everything they've got going on in the late summer/early fall at jasper.travel. It's a brand new website. From stargazing to mountaintop dining to snowshoeing, the Jasper SkyTram has no shortage of activities that you will enjoy. I've been on it. It's lovely, Tyler. Get a nice little view.
SkyTram.
That's right. That's very nice.
I want to know more about this.
Well, jasper.travel. Get all the details you need on the SkyTram.
Mute my mic for a bit and look into that.
Next time you and the missus go off to the mountains, I'm thinking this is the perfect little date night for you guys. All right, boys, we're going to move ahead and look at, we're getting into rumor season. I love rumor season in the NHL. And I think this year, I said it last week on the podcast, I said it on Real Life, I'm saying it everywhere. I think the silly season in the NHL is going to be a lot more fun this year, or scary, depending on how you look at it, because we're already seeing it. There's teams making trades specifically for cap space. And I think that there's going to be deals for pennies on the dollar that you can get. Tyler already mentioned the Penguins, and that's where I want to start. Dusty Nielsen was talking about it earlier this week that the Oilers have contacted the Penguins about goaltender Matt Murray. Tyler wrote about it in his weekly rumors column that goes up on Thursdays. Tyler, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, first off, if the Oilers, and I believe Dusty, Frank Saravalli is reporting it as well, the Oilers are one of the teams having contact with Pittsburgh about Murray, the 26-year-old pending RFA. I think it shows that Ken Holland is serious, not just about upgrading the goaltending for next year, but finding a guy who can be a bit more of a long-term fit than just, you know, a veteran on a 1 or 2 year deal. So I like that it shows Ken Holland is getting aggressive here, or at least plans on being aggressive. You look at a guy like Murray, coming off not a great season, 287 goals against average, .899 save percentage. But you go back to last season, he played 50 games, 269 goals against average, .919 save percentage. You go the year before that, 292 with .907, which is okay, not great. Year before that, 241, .923. He's a guy who has a track record of being a competent NHL goaltender. Last year wasn't great for him, but I think that almost works out in Edmonton's favor because it means he's going to be cheaper to acquire and cheaper to sign to a contract. He's a guy who at 26 years old still has a lot of hockey left in him. I know he's played a lot already, but I like that as well because, again, he's proven he can get through a regular season and play 50 games for you. So I think he's the best fit on the market right now for the Edmonton Oilers. It's clear the Penguins aren't trading Jari, who I'd probably prefer But in terms of realistic options, Murray seems like he's the guy. And there's going to be a lot of teams lining up for him because he's a 26-year-old goaltender with two cup rings on his hand. But I think the Oilers should absolutely be pushing to try to get a guy like Murray here.
What do you think that, so Jake Allen, different situation, obviously. Jake Allen just went to Montreal for a pair of picks. Obviously, the Blues are trying to re-sign Pietrangelo or just clear cap space for other purposes. Makes sense. What does that trade look like, though? Because Murray's an RFA.
Yeah.
He could realistically, at 26, be your goalie for the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
What does that trade look like?
So just looking at what Pittsburgh has, they went out, they got Kasperi Kapanen. I really don't think they need any forwards. Like, you look outside of their sort of big four there with Malkin, Crosby, Gensel, and Zucker. They still have Hornquist, Tanev, Rust, Kapanen, Sherry, Zach Aston, Reese. Teddy Bluger played a lot this year. Dominic Simone played a good amount as well. He's a pending RFA. They have a lot of pieces up front, so they're probably not going to be interested in, you know, Athanasiu or Puljujarvi or any of those potential trade chips up front for the Oilers. But you look on the back end. They got Letang, they got Brian Dumoulin, Jack Johnson, John Marino, Marcus Pettersson. And then after that, it's a lot of just not great stuff going. They're not going to be able to bring back Justin Schultz for money reasons. So I think Pittsburgh probably wouldn't mind adding a defenseman, and they probably wouldn't mind adding a draft pick as well, because they only have a third rounder this year in the first three rounds, and next year all they have is a second. So I wonder if the Oilers could maybe kill two birds with one stone here. And this isn't great, but, and cool. I keep in mind, I'm kind of coming up with this sort of off the top of my head here, but what if it's your first rounder in 2021 and Matt Benning, and in exchange you're getting Matt Murray, Jared McCann, and maybe a third rounder this year. So you're still getting a pick. You're giving up some future assets, but you're getting a starting goalie, a guy who can be a third line center for you and Jared McCann, and potentially help produce some offense as well.
I make that trade.
Maybe it's even a second rounder in 2021. So you move from your first to your second. You get Murray, you get McCann. You're also giving up Benning. Pittsburgh gets a young D-man. They get rid of McCann, who they might not be able to afford to sign anyways. They get rid of Murray, but they're moving up into the first round next year.
Because over and above the budget that you mentioned for Pittsburgh, they also don't want to lose one of their goaltenders in the expansion draft for nothing either. So they're kind of under pressure to make a deal. So if you could get it for next year's second, then yeah, absolutely. But I would even be willing to do next year's first because, and Rick said it countless weeks in a row now, they have to win now. They have to win now. If you could somehow hang on to this year's first round pick and get that kind of package, then why wouldn't you?
Because it covers two holes, right? And that's really what you need.
Well, I guess we're not getting rid of Larson now because we're bringing in Murray and Benning's out the door. So,
well, hey, and that's exactly it, though. You'd keep Larson. You would have, you know, Bouchard waiting in the wings. Maybe you still go sign that veteran righty for $1 million somewhere on the free agent market. And the Murray and McCann acquisitions, I think, would really help this team.
So you think McCann would be a... Because they have him labeled as a winger here, don't they?
He's played some center, if I'm remembering correctly. He's listed as both on the NHL website.
Okay, I think Puckpedia has him as a left winger.
But, I mean, hey, even if he was a winger, like, it's a guy who, one, put up some decent numbers last year. His scouting report on NHL.com has him as a two-way center. But I believe he played with Crosby a little as well. He had 14 goals, 21 assists in 35 games last season. So he's a half a point a game kind of guy. If he comes in here, plays on your third line, maybe spot duty up in the top six, and puts up 50 points, like, come on. The Oilers need guys like that.
He took plenty of draws in for the Penguins this past year as well. Over, my math is really bad, but close to 600.
That's
somewhere in there.
That's a hefty amount of draws. That's 10 draws a game.
Yeah, that's not a winger.
So I think... You know, I like that deal, Tyler. Dan, what do you think about the idea of fishing for Matt Murray?
I think the main thing that I take away from it is what Tyler kind of first said, is the big thing is that Ken Holland is aligning with what I think a lot of people think this team needs, which is a goalie that lets them compete now. And I don't know if Matt Murray's price is necessarily the benchmark that we want to go for, because I do think that he's going to be somebody that is going to be highly sought after. And I think you're looking at a deal like what Tyler kind of mentioned there, maybe not even with the McCann aspect to it. I don't know. But I would think that I would hope that you could go out and get somebody like a Ranta or a Kemper for better money or better value for your trade than you could with Matt Murray. I think that if we're dealing with Matt Murray, I think the key is, again, and like Tyler said, is having a defenseman that can play in their on their D right now. So if that is Adam Larson, if that is Matt Benning, who knows, right? But yeah, I think that the big takeaway from me is that Ken Holland is looking at goaltending and is identifying that it's time now to, you know, make a strike while the team is in the mode of winning.
And who knows, like, whether or not this progresses beyond discussions with Pittsburgh. I just like the idea, and Tyler said it too. I like the idea that Ken Holland is looking at a goaltender that is not closing in on 40 as a possible option, as somebody who can grow with the team. A couple of cup rings on those fingers doesn't hurt either. He's got some experience. Everybody likes to talk about experience, especially in this market. So I think that it could probably work. But outside of Matt Murray, the goaltending market has actually got plenty of action and rumors going on. Even in Vancouver, they're playing game 7 tonight. There's talk that Jacob Markstrom might be leaving Vancouver.
And which is just crazy.
Go ahead.
None of his contract is too much of a contract, though.
I don't know, man. Like, it's just, it's ludicrous to me. Like, I've said it in weeks previous, like, for these teams like Calgary, like, go for it, guys. Blow up the entire team because you've had a couple of playoff runs, and then you had a bad bubble hockey playoff run. Like, I'm all for it. If the Canucks are going to really go ahead and do this, absolutely do it, because you're in my division and I want you to have less goaltending options. But they have like an embarrassment of goaltending value here. But we've seen it time and time again. They watched it with Jordan Binnington themselves. You know, Binnington wasn't the world beater that he was the year before when he won the Stanley Cup with that team. They certainly picked him apart in their series. It shocks me that Canucks fans can and you know, potentially the Canucks organization could be so short-sighted. But at the same time, you know, if Demko is an amazing goaltender, that team is set up for a fucking, you know, for the stratosphere. Like, if they go forward with Demko and he's a, you know, he's a workhorse goalie for them, that could be bad news for us, you know? So it's interesting to watch, but it just seems kind of crazy to me from the outside looking in to have a bubble hockey goalie in Thatcher Demko, who's having an amazing couple of games. And now we're like, yeah, they're like, now, like, you know, just toss Markstrom out the door. I don't know. It's confusing to me.
Well, I think they were going to have to make the decision on Markstrom, whether Demko had a good playoffs or not. Right. He's making almost 3.7 right now as a UFA. You got to think he's going to get a hefty raise. He's 30 years old. You know, that gets you into the 5, 6, 7, 8 year range. And that's not something you really want to do with a goaltender. Like, that gets you in a lot of trouble. So it's something they were going to deal with anyways. Yeah, I don't think you can think that Demko is what he is right now. You know, I think his average for the year was closer to 910, 905 or something like that, as opposed to what it is right now. But if you can find some sort of happy medium in there and even bring it down a couple of notches after that, just because that's the way it's going to go, you might have to take that chance, man. These guys are going to be into a salary situation like we are, right? You're going to have to pay Peterson. You're going to have to pay Quinn Hughes. You've got a lot of guys out there going to need a lot of money coming up. Do you really want to buckle down with a goaltender who's over 30, who's going to be making $5.5-6 million for the next 6 to 8 years? You know, it's a tough decision, but it's a business decision. And it's something they're going to deal with right now.
Here's why Jacob Markstrom will not be back with the Vancouver Canucks next season. And the caveat I'll say before I go off on making my point here is, if Jacob Markstrom's okay with going to Seattle, then ignore everything I'm about to say. But for the sake of this, I can't see a guy signing a contract with the knowledge that he's going to end up in Seattle. So if you're Vancouver, 24-year-old Thatcher Demko is giving you some good minutes at the NHL level. You've watched him progress through his career so far, you're probably pretty confident, especially if you're starting the guy in the Stanley Cup playoffs and elimination games, that he's going to be your goaltender of the future. You do not want to lose that guy to Seattle. If you're signing Jacob Markstrom, even if it's a short-term deal, 3-4 years, he's not signing that deal without some sort of no-move protection or anything like that, because why would he sign a deal to be in Vancouver for 1 year and then immediately go to Seattle next season? That's not going to happen. So your options if you're Vancouver are, re-sign Jacob Markstrom and just resign to the fact you're losing Thatcher Demko, who is a hell of a young goalie, future starter in the expansion draft. Well, why would you want to do that? Or you could sign them both and then go, well, we better be prepared to pay out the nose to Seattle to keep both these guys. Okay, well then all of a sudden you're signing Jacob Markstrom, keeping Demko, and probably giving Seattle like a first and a second round pick just to not take this starting goaltender off your hands. Like, signing Markstrom just creates so many problems for Vancouver, whereas if you just go, and you got to remember, they have Mikey DiPietro as well, who they really like in their minor league system, so it's not even like Demko's their only potential goalie of the future. They have another one coming up through their system. If you're Jim Benning, as much as it sucks to watch a legit starter like Jacob Markstrom go, I think for the sake of the salary cap and for the sake of not losing your future goalie in the expansion draft, you got to let the 30-year-old go. You go sign another veteran for 1 year in free agency, or you go acquire a guy with 1 year left on his deal, and you run with that next season. It sucks to watch a number one goalie walk out the door, but I'd rather watch the 30-year-old walk out the door than lose the 24-year-old for nothing a year from now when he could be even better.
There's also the angle that how much do the Canucks want to pay for their goalies? Because they're also right now paying $3 million for a guy who hasn't played in a while. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they got Luongo on there until 2022. So
yeah,
there's going to be some very interesting decisions going on. I feel like this is a really good time for the Oilers to be looking for a goaltender. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even specifically talking about Markstrom or anything, because there are so many goaltenders that are seemingly available. I don't remember the last time there was this many good goalies that are kind of just out there.
Well, yeah, look at the free agent market alone. You're getting two honest number ones are sitting there in Markstrom and Robin Leonard. Like, those guys can handle 55 to 60 games a season, which is really what a number one's expected to do. Now, you look at the trade market, and I mean, a 26-year-old in Matt Murray, who's won cups, his name's being thrown around like it's nothing. That's a substantial goaltender that's being moved. I know his numbers weren't great last year. We touched on that, but like, that's still a pretty big name that could be moved. And then you look at the amount of, you know, really quality backups as well. Braden Holtby is in that 1A category still in my mind. I know he didn't have a great year, but if you're looking for a 1B, Thomas Greiss, Anton Hudobin, like, those guys are really good 1Bs as well. There's more goaltenders than there are jobs on the market, and that's a huge positive for the Oilers.
Columbus as well. Yeah. Throw that on the list. They've got two good goaltenders there as well.
Arizona with Kemper and Ranta and Aiden Hill. Like, someone's probably going to have to go out of there as well. The talk of Toronto potentially moving on from Freddie Anderson. There's the situation with the Rangers. Like, you go on and on and on. There's a ton of goalies that need homes.
So I think that, to me, what this tells me, is that this is going to be Ken Holland's probably best opportunity to acquire a young, strong goaltender that can grow with this team, as opposed to going to fish for a 1 year stopgap.
100%.
What are we considering young, though? Are we, like, if you're going to re-sign a player, are you going to be able to convince an Antti Raanta to sign a 3 year deal?
Why not?
He's 31 right now. Is he going to want to sign that?
Why would he?
I don't think you're going to want to sign too much longer than that. I don't know.
Don't these guys usually have a choice?
Yeah, I was just going to say, he might not have a choice. There's a lot of girls at the dance right now, if you know
and
what
I'm saying.
And
then do you jump in quick, or do you sit back and wait for a piece of gold to fall down?
That's the beauty of this market. I think you can go with either route and you're going to be okay.
I think that I like the idea of the map, going back to Matt Murray again, just to wrap this up. I like that Ken Holland is talking to the Penguins now, because if Matt Murray's the guy that you really want, get in there first. Before everybody, try and swing a deal now before everybody else is, like, there's still plenty of playoffs left to go. We're just wrapping up the second round. So there's still plenty of time to go where there's some of these teams that are still in may want to upgrade their goaltending as well. I'd like to see Mr. Holland go out and just grab somebody he wants now. But like Tyler said, if the acquisition cost from Matt Murray is too much, okay, well, then you sit back and wait and see what happens. It'd be interesting. Like I said, I don't know if I've ever seen a goaltending market like this before, when the Oilers have been so desperate to have one. So I think it's a good spot to be in, and we'll see what happens, I guess. Lots going on, though. Sticking with some rumors as well, I want to get to, but first I want to talk about skipthedishes.ca. I, myself, got some delicious Chinese food delivered to me yesterday, and you know what I did, Tyler? What I always do when I order Chinese food.
Tip.
I ordered way
driver.
Too much.
Oh.
Well, I also tip the driver. I always do that. But I ordered way too much, And now I've got Chinese food that'll be coming with me to the lake this weekend.
Yeah,
whoa, whoa, a nice little treat for me.
Whoa, whoa, on the way too much. You ordered the exact right amount to feed you last night and to feed you for every upcoming meal, in which case you eat it. If you throw anything away, then maybe you ordered too much.
No.
Until you throw it away, you ordered the exact proper amount.
I like that, Rick. You're making sense to me because nothing is getting thrown away. I promise you that. I will be eating chow mein until the end of time if I have to. And I plan to. Skipthedish.ca, plenty of local restaurants around. We are happy to support local restaurants. And like Tyler said, tip your drivers. Very important. They're putting themselves out there to make sure that you are being fed without having to leave your house. Now, goaltending, obviously a big, big rumor market right now. But we're not done there, friends. There's some interesting forwards that are also on TSN's trade board. Tyler, I want to ask you specifically about Max Domi. You wrote about him in your article, your rumor roundup. According to a report that went out on TSN 690, it doesn't look like he's going to be back in Montreal next season.
Yeah, Arpan Basu of The Athletic in a hit with TSN 690 kind of said it's more likely that it's, you know, where is Max Domi getting traded, not if Max Domi is going to be traded. This is a guy, 25 years old, pending RFA. He can play the left side. He can play down the middle. Similar to Murray in the sense that, you know, he's had some great years under his belt. You look at, you know, 2018, 2019, 72 points as a center, spent most of the season with Andrew Shaw and Jonathan Drouin. So it's not like he was a center playing with two, you know, elite goal scoring wingers. He was a top six center playing with two competent wingers, I'd call them. And he produced almost a point a game. He can also play on the left side, but like I was getting to, he's coming off a bit of a bad year. So his acquisition cost could be a little low. You know, the cost to actually sign him could be a little bit lower than it would have been 12 months ago as well. I just think Max Domi could be the perfect fit for this Oilers team. Like, if you want to acquire him to be your third line center and to give you some offense in the bottom six, he'll do it. If you want him to be a left winger with Connor McDavid and, you know, bring some jam into this top six, but also be able to keep up offensively, he can do it. And I'm working on another article that goes into it a little bit more in depth, but I just look at this guy and I don't know exactly what the acquisition cost would be if it's Athanasiu plus, if they're interested in a guy like Benning, if they're interested in a guy like Larson, but I just think this is a guy the Oilers need to have circled and they need to be pushing for because I think he brings a lot of things to this lineup that they don't currently have.
Does he kill penalties?
I'm not sure if he kills a lot of penalties.
Because I think that's going to be a large factor in who we bring in, right? Let's face it. As much as it hurts me to say, I don't know if Jujhar is going to be around next year. That's a pretty good penalty killer you're going to lose out on. Shahan, I don't think he's around. There goes another penalty killer. Like, we're going to get into a point here where our penalty killer is going to be led by Nuge and Leon again, and that's not something we want to do. So I think anybody that does that's going to be brought in the bottom six, PK has to be a big factor.
I can't tell if he kills penalties, but I do like the idea of Max Domi playing on the left side with Connor and then having the luxury of being able to reunite Nuge, Draisaitl, and Yamo. All of a sudden, that top six looks pretty good.
But you still run into that third line center of issue again.
And
which is going to be ongoing. Yeah. Go ahead, Tyler.
I think he can be fine in that sort of role in on a third line. And I'm still trying to load up here, my natural stat tricks being a little bit low, but I'm trying to see if he kills penalties or not. I don't know. I just think he does so much good. Even if he doesn't kill penalties, bring back Shahan on your fourth line. Start teaching some of these guys to kill penalties. Like, that's not a reason I wouldn't acquire him.
He has one shorthanded point in his career, and it was in his rookie season. So
I mean,
that's not like a perfect answer, but I think that that's probably a good indication that he's never been out on it.
Yeah, he doesn't kill penalties. He didn't kill penalties over the last 2 years for Montreal.
But we'd have to go out and find someone who can kill some penalties then, because that's going to be a big part for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, because right now, like, without Shea and sign, you've got Nuge, you've got Leon kill some, you've got Archibald kill some.
But you don't want Leon and Nuge out there.
Prefer not to.
Well, I mean, you know,
the last 30 seconds, fine, because you know they're kind of like getting ready to go with McYamsidle, as they did after every penalty after, you know, January 1st. But I don't think you want him out there in the first minute. That's for sure. But hey, maybe Max can still kill penalties, man. Like, there's, I don't think, even if he hasn't done it before, I don't see why he would be against it now.
And I love what he brings to the team on the ice with a little bit of attitude and a little bit of charisma. I think that's the type of things we missed in the playoffs this year.
And we'll never forget when he won Punch Kessler.
Matt, can you imagine what that shirt's going to look like if we get to make it?
Oh, goodness. Absolutely. Everybody would love it. Not that I think either of these two are necessarily on the Oilers' radar, although they probably should be, to be honest. For some reason, Winnipeg has both Patrick Laine and Nick Ehlers up on the trade board, which surprises me. I don't understand why they would want to get rid of either of those guys.
They had an issue with Laine at trying to sign him last year, didn't they?
A little bit.
Yeah, he did. He did hold out for a little bit, but he did end up getting signed. To me, I don't understand. I think that you would try to put more work into massaging that relationship if there is an issue, because this is a 22-year-old that's averaged something like, what, 38 goals?
Pretty much 38, over a full season
since he came in.
Can you imagine him on the left side of Connor?
He should have been, man, because we dropped in that lottery.
Dude, could you imagine Connor, Leon, or Nuge just saucing passes over to the left-hand side and let him tee him up like he's fucking Ovechkin?
Gregor wrote about Laine the other day at OilersNation.com, and I posted the feature image that I put in that article is Laine taking a slap shot, and seeing the whip on that stick is just, I couldn't. Connor would get 900 points on the power play feeding him cross ice like that. Put him in the OB spot.
We'd have to fix the netting in those damn nets like every fucking third game.
Unbelievable. It'd be fantastic. But my question for you guys is, to be honest, I would also like Nick Ehlers. I would love to have Nick Ehlers on the Oilers, but I don't think that's going to happen. But why do you think that these two guys, is it just because Winnipeg bowed out so early in the play-in round like Edmonton did that they would be up there? Is this just kind of like a off-season
They ran into a defenseman issue again, didn't they?
They need D-men and they need a second-line center. So I think the thing is, look on the wings where they're incredibly deep and go, all right, which one of these guys can we trade? If you want to go bring in, you know, potentially a second-line center and a top-four winger, then, yeah, maybe you do look at trading Laine. I think it's ridiculous. He's a 22-year-old who can score you 40 goals a year pretty much. Yeah, he's an RFA at the end of next season. He's going to cost a lot to sign. But, like, fuck, man. You don't find goal scorers like that just sitting on the side of the street. If you want to trade Ehlers for a second-line center and, you know, or maybe a top-four winger, I understand that more. But the Laine thing's just bizarre to me. He's so good.
Well, and it's funny to me watching it from the outside again. It's another, you know, I'm an outside looking in Jets observer, but how has Paul Maurice's name not come up more in, like, is the next head coach to get fired kind of question? The guy has not, you know, he's had this team now for what, 5 years and hasn't really way more than that, 7 years. And he hasn't taken them over the hump yet. Like, and he's had a lot of the same parts. I know that, again, like you guys said, he had the issues this year with defense. Bufflin didn't show up, all that stuff. But how is the head coach not the issue there instead of looking at getting rid of your stars? I don't know. It's a weird kind of tear down from the top, not looking to adjust anything from within. So I don't know. It's a bizarre situation to watch from the outside in.
It is interesting too, because he just signed a 3-year contract extension on February 12th. That'll take him through until the end of 2023. So Winnipeg loves them some Paul Maurice.
Yeah. I can't imagine the fans do, though.
Which is pretty hilarious, because, like, we're from Edmonton, right? So we're used to be like, well, they had a bad season, get rid of the fucking coach. And then just nobody else seems to do that as much. So maybe maybe we're just so used to being kicked while we're down and firing the coach that it's just kind of like, why doesn't the coach get fired? We're just not used to it, I guess.
We talked a couple episodes ago about the potential of moving Nurse. Yeah. And we said pretty much Nylander was the bare minimum from Toronto. Obviously, these would be the two leading candidates if we were talking to Winnipeg. What would it look like what would that trade look like?
It starts with Nurse, and then you probably got to build up.
Like, what for Ehlers?
Oh, for Ehlers? I think Nurse for Ehlers straight across is an interesting
offer.
Yeah,
I would
now say... Now, 14 and Nurse for Laine, or are you talking more?
I think it's more.
I think it'd be more. Because like Tyler said, this is a guy who could put up 40 goals for you. He's 22 years old. Yeah. I think if they're selling Laine, that they are going to get a massive return.
And the difference,
hey guys, don't forget, we traded Taylor Hall once, eh?
But we also had Peter Chiarelli handling that.
Remember
one.
The package that was?
The difference for a lot of these conversations, though, is not, it's not, I don't think it's necessarily saying that, you know, that there's a trade on the table for Line A or Ehlers and they're waiting to see who else offers stuff. I think they're just showing that, you know, the option is there, but I don't necessarily think it happens because I don't think any team is really willing to pay for what Line A is especially worth versus what he's put out. And then Ehlers, I would argue, is the bigger get of the two for what the Oilers need.
I'd be pumped if the Oilers got Ehlers. I'd be super pumped on it. I think if he does get traded, whoever gets Nick Ehlers is going to be very happy with that player.
Yeah, I agree.
He's fun to watch too. And he's a little bit more of a Swiss Army knife than Patrick Laine. But we'll see. That's why I just think silly season, rumor season, all of this is going to be so much more interesting this year.
Budgets, need a damn
black
team
caps.
To end.
Yeah. But like I said earlier, we've still got quite a ways to go because we are still in the second round looking at a couple of game sevens. I want to touch on those in a second. But first, I just want to clear up a couple of housekeeping items for the Oilers. Patrick Russell re-signed a one-year contract extension, league minimum. Anybody surprised by that?
No. Tippett seems to really trust him.
I wasn't over the moon either way, I guess, is kind of just because it's the league minimum, right? You can't be upset that you got a body for the cheapest amount you could possibly get.
And he's an effective fourth liner. We're talking about penalty killers.
Yeah.
Hold like
on,
this
hold
is a guy
on.
That needs
he
to learn how to
a goddamn goal last year. It's not effective.
Well,
no,
I don't think
you're so right.
I don't know if you expect every one of your fourth liners to score goals, but yes.
Yes, I would expect every one of my fourth liners to score at least one goal in a year.
I don't know.
I agree. Actually, you know what, Ryan? I'm flipping my mind.
There, you can't look at your top. You can't look sit there and look at your fourth line and go, if you guys walk out of here with zero goals at the end of this season, that I'm still going to give you a pat on the back. I'm sorry. You guys have to go out and get me at least 3 to 4 goals each. There's defensemen are going to goddamn do this. Somebody has to go out there and do that.
To be fair, he did have a goal called back this year.
Yeah, so leave it alone, good. Rick. Jesus.
He's got
poor
like
Patrick
a...
Patrick Russell.
Hey, they don't count. They don't count.
That's true. That is true.
Although,
that,
you know what? At the same time, I might be willing to spill over because we did see what happened with Toby this year, right?
Maybe
that's a perfect example. There's a prime example of a guy that, you know, was given some faith.
So we're agreeing here. Year two, if he doesn't score a goal, he's out of here.
We're down to the league minimum.
Can we just take a second here and compliment Tyler on his pink blanket he's keeping
himself
warm
with? Yeah, I was
also
looking at that. It looks really nice.
Thanks, guys.
Looks
awesome. He's comfy.
It's my girlfriend's. It's
that looks
nice.
Like
if
one of those.
If you were looking quickly, though, you'd think it was his bare leg.
Yeah.
it is fuzzy. Look at that.
It's fuzzy on one side and like smooth on the other.
My
no business
God.
On the
really
outside
nice.
And comfy on the inside.
He's got a good radio.
I've also,
that's the nice part about living with a girl is the throw blankets.
I've also been eating this bowl of jelly beans all show.
Good for you. Good for you. A little mange there. The second piece of housekeeping that I wanted to get to, Dmitry Samarukov scored his first KHL goal on his first shift.
Good Another job.
Oilers defensive prospect.
Better
that,
than Patrick Russell.
And it was the fastest of the whatever they call their opening week cup or whatever in history.
Nice to see a defensive prospect looking good. He's another guy that maybe down the road could be an option for the Oilers.
I don't think it's too far though, man. Like this year, obviously, 2021 is a write off. He's going to do what he does over there, but 2021-22, he's going to be back in North America, and who knows? He might be ready to push somebody up in the NHL.
And that goes back to our Adam Larson conversation off the top of the podcast where left side, if you're making trades, it's got to be from the left side.
Yeah.
Right now.
It's valuable on that side too.
There's some good pieces there.
Do you look at moving Samarukov just because you have Broberg behind him?
And Jones and Klefbom's already established.
Yeah, obviously.
Like,
what you
just,
have, yeah,
so
what
much
you have
going
right
on,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to take anybody out of the lineup right now. So you got to look outside the lineup, and you've got Broberg is probably the fourth best left shot defenseman, and then you're gonna have Samarukov right behind him. I mean, one of those guys you might be able to flip in some sort of trade. As much as I don't want to, but we can't sit there and play 9 left-handed defensemen. So,
Or can we?
Yes. Yes.
We will try.
What if the Oilers just decide to go, you know what? We really only have two good forward lines. So they just dress six forwards and like 12 D-men every game.
Yeah, I mean, let's do it.
The offensive defenseman too.
Yeah.
We have to try something different. And I believe this is the time to dress most of our lineup as defense. Now, Tyler, it is time to get your buttons ready, my friends, because we are looking at the Yegburger Hot and Cold Performers of the Week. The burger of the month at Yegburger this month for September is Habanero Heat. Delicious. A fresh, never frozen 5-ounce beef patty covered in spicy Havarti cheese, fried jalapeno chips, and caramelized onions, then topped with a habanero aioli. Sounds delicious.
That sounds unreal. Delicious.
It does sound unreal. So if you are in the market for a burger, which you should be, check out our friends at Yegburger, both on Twitter and Instagram at Yeg_burger. As we always do, boys, we start with the downside of the past 7 days. I'm going to go ahead and start. My Yegburger cold performer of the week has been Bag Milk, the degenerate gambler, had himself a tough week. Had himself a tough week. You know what? I was getting too deep into some of the prop bets, and I kind of shot myself in the foot a couple of times. I was having some fun with the over-under totals. And some of these series that had some low-scoring games to start did not maintain those low-scoring games as the series went on. I'm specifically thinking of the game between the Islanders and Flyers. That one really bit me for taking the under on that one. So,
yes.
My Yegburger cold performer of the week is My Betting Habits. Tyler, your Yegburger cold performer of the week.
I've been loving all the sports that have been on this last 24 hours with the Raps, the Jays, the hockey. All of it's been good. But the NHL deciding to put both Western Conference games on the same day and start one of them at 2:00. And I know it's 3:00 in Colorado and Dallas, and it's a Friday, so I'm sure people are taking the afternoon off to watch game 7 of their team. But like, come on, could we not do one tonight and one tomorrow on Saturday and put game 7 in the East nice and early on the Saturday as well so they can finish it, pack up, and potentially be on a flight on Sunday to Edmonton? You could have had the game, one game tonight, all the attention on it, one game and two games tomorrow, a super Saturday, the game 7 scheduling. That is my cold performer of the week.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. You're 1,000% right. Why are we doing this? Not to mention, what happens if, like, I mean, chances are it's not going to, but like,
quadruple overtime.
Yeah, we get a super extended overtime going on, you know?
Well, yeah, like, there is a chance you end up having to play two games tomorrow anyways, so why didn't you just play it safe and do the thing that makes the most sense? Anyways, yeah, G is on my TV, so that's at
least if you have a day game, do it on a Saturday, not a Friday.
Yeah, 1,000%. 1,000%. NHL. Makes sense.
But it is 2:00 in Denver right now, just for the record.
Oh, sorry, my bad. Yeah, they're in Mountain, and Dallas is in Central, so I did that wrong.
Rick, your Yegburger cold performer of the week.
Well, Tyler took mine there, so I'm just going to pull one out of the sky here and go, this fall weather in August, I guess it is September right now, but this fall weather, 2020 has been kind of tough here. We need Mother Nature to help us out a bit and give us a little more summer into the fall. So I'm just gonna take a dump on the weather today.
Burr. Literally, burr.
Nice.
Hey, and just for the record, Landeskog is out for today.
Well, by the time people listen to this, they're already gonna know who won the game.
Touche.
I just wonder how this affects my betting.
That's just.
I need to turn it around, although. You know, I did have a good night last night. Thank you. Dan, your Yegburger cold performer of the week.
Well, the conversation keeps coming up because, I mean, we don't have a lot else to talk about that isn't, you know, positive, I guess. But it's the discussion between the NBA and the NHL and how, you know, how the games market each other and how they market themselves and the struggles that the NHL has. And last night I was tuned into the NHL on NBC for the Flyers and Islanders overtime game, and the way that they gave the highlights of the Vegas Vancouver game was the dumbest thing I've seen in a long time. It's as if they don't know how to broadcast like NHL games still. And so the highlights are Vancouver scores a goal early. Awesome. I'm in. I'm listening and watching. They go to another highlight package, and it's no joke about 20 seconds of hockey, and it's just at the end of a period and Vegas draws a penalty and you're just waiting for something to happen, like a goal or a decent shot or maybe a big hit. And no, they wanted to show you the penalty that Vegas drew, it like a mean nothing holding penalty. They made me sit there for fucking 30 seconds while they broke down this holding penalty. And they think that Americans are going to tune in to Vegas and Vancouver coverage after the Islanders and Flyers game? Nope. Hard no. So the NHL on NBC, you get my cold performer of the week.
Worse.
It drives me nuts. They can't market the league because the people that are in charge of marketing the league don't know how to watch the league.
Never forget that on the first day hockey came back, NBC did a wide-angle shot of the industrial area around Rexall Place. Oh, and we're like, coming to you soon.
That was the best. It was like, check out the hub for the Western Conferences, Rexall Place. And you're like, wait a minute.
To be fair to NBC, they have not probably ever broadcast an NHL game from Edmonton in the last 30 years. Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, they're usually here once or twice a year for a McDavid game.
Fair enough.
You would think that they would know where the arena is, though. I mean, I could understand that one if the arena had just opened. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could give them kind of a pass and be like, oh, okay, well, this is the first year Rogers Place has been open. But, it's been around.
They're just really mad because they send their trucks to Rexall every time, and they're like, fuck, we're at the wrong arena again. So, yeah, you get it. You understand.
Dan, Snake Draft, Yegberger, Hot Performer of the Week.
It's a cushy one. I think everybody you guys would all probably agree. It's a shout out to the teachers out there, who are, doing their best to put together, a curriculum. We're watching bubble hockey happen in a bubble and teachers are trying to do the same thing on their own. So a huge shout out to all the teachers that listen and anybody that, that is a teacher themselves or knows a teacher of their own. So teachers, my hot performer of the week.
Put some respect on my name.
Shout out to my mom, who is a teacher.
Nice.
And also a massive fan of Oilers Nation Radio. I know this about Mrs. Yaremchuk.
Do you talk to Mrs. Yaremchuk?
Absolutely. She just said, you know what? I just want to congratulate you guys on having the 197th ranked sports podcast. Yeah,
that's up two spots.
Absolutely. Rick, your Yegberger Hot Performer of the Week.
Well, this comes down to last evening, I think it was, maybe a couple nights before that. But Oscar Lindblom, he played for the Flyers. He just had played his first game back, last night or two nights ago?
Yeah.
He was diagnosed with bone cancer December 7th. He fought it. He did his treatment. He did what he had to do. I think he was cleared sometime in the summer to get back to working out and whatnot. And he was back on the ice playing for the Flyers. So that's one of those stories where, it's just a feel-good story. You know, there's been a couple guys that have gone through the NHL, have had to deal with this stuff. Mario had it. Sakakoivu had it. Our friend Brandon Davidson has dealt with this. Anytime a player can come back, anytime any person can get through what he's gone through and get back to their normal life, shout out to them, pat on the back, whatever it is. Well done, Oscar.
I like this right here.
And I also shout out to both teams. For the stick taps, it was a cool 100%. Little moment. I liked seeing that a lot. That was a cool, cool story. Tyler, your Yegberger, hot performer.
I'm someone, obviously I'm a fan of a ton of sports, but I love watching Canadians do well in sports where traditionally Canadians have not done very well. You look to golf, right? It was Mike Weir, and then for a while there weren't a lot of big-name Canadians, and now you have guys like Mackenzie Hughes, Corey Connors, Adam Hadwin dominating that circuit. Same thing in tennis, where for a while there weren't a lot of big-name Canadians, and now we're at a spot where, it's not just Milos Raonic going out there anymore. You have on the women's side, Bianca Andreescu doing some great things. On the men's side, Denis Shapovalov's exciting. And then there's this kid, Felix Auger-Aliassime, only 20 years old out of Montreal, and he picked up a primetime win at the U.S. Open, taking down Andy Murray, who I know, he's not one of the biggest names anymore, but he's still sort of one of those tennis legends. I just wanted to give some love to Felix Auger-Aliassime. Always good when an athlete puts Canada on the map in a sport that, if I'm going to be honest, it's nice when it's not just Canada being known for hockey. So shout out to Felix, one of the exciting young players on the ATP. He picked up a big win in prime time. Yeah!
My Yegberger Hot Performer of the Week is so much more embarrassing than the other three answers. It really is. This morning, first thing in the morning, Wanya and I start texting each other about the video for Popstar by Drake and DJ Khaled starring Justin Bieber. And it's awesome. It's awesome. Justin Bieber is pretending like he's lip syncing all of Drake's words for the song. And it's awesome. I like it. It makes me happy. So I guess maybe my Yegberger Hot Performer of the Week is two monster Canadian artists getting together in a fantastic video. Huh, go. Tyler?
I like there that. We go. I like that.
Drake and Bieber coming together.
I need some new Hot Performer buttons. So if you're listening and you have some suggestions, send them my way and I'll get them added into the board for next week.
Alternate suggestion, if you want to submit a voice clip of yourself for one of these buttons, I would love to hear that as well.
Yeah, that could actually be pretty funny.
Somebody wants to reach out to Zach Cassian on Cameo.
Yes, let's wrap that up really quickly. We had a bunch of stuff actually that we didn't get to. Next week, we're going to talk about RFA Ethan Bear, what that looks like if he's not signed by then. Zach Cassian today on Instagram announced that he's on Cameo. Dan, you've been having fun with some NHLers on Cameo recently.
Yeah, well, I'm sure if you've listened to the podcast, you may remember I reached out to Chris Pronger all those years ago and asked him if he wanted to apologize to the city of Edmonton, to which he responded
like 6 months ago.
Yeah, it was. So a couple weeks ago, Andrew Raycroft took to Twitter and started up the Nathan MacKinnon better than Connor McDavid debate. With a simple tweet of Nathan MacKinnon greater Connor McDavid. Instead of taking the bait, which I think a lot of Oilers fans tend to do when somebody questions our greatest player in the league right now, I responded to him with a simple Cameo request. Found out he's on Cameo for only $29 American. But I offered him $29 for the Cameo plus $29 donated to a charity of his choice. Doesn't matter how bad, you know, it doesn't matter what he wanted to donate it to, just to say that Connor McDavid is actually, in fact, better. And 3 minutes later, it took me about 6 minutes to draft up my whole proposal. And within 3 minutes, he responded with, this doesn't align with the talent's opinion of things. And so they're not going to be able to fulfill the request.
It's an auto response, though, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, they just hit nope. And then you just get, although Andrew Raycroft tries to deliver 100% of requests, sometimes certain requests are confusing, difficult, or not in line with the talent's image. We encourage you to try again some other time. So
it is difficult.
I tried. Dan, I tried. Try with charity. You know, we'll keep trying.
Dan 0 for 2 on his Cameo requests from NHLers. Maybe the next time, buddy. Third time's a charm.
I'll keep trying.
From all of us at Oilers Nation Radio, I want to thank Sherwood Ford the Giant, SkipTheDishes.ca, Tourism Jasper, and Yegberger for making it all possible. And for you, the listener, for filling your ear holes with all of our wisdom. May you enjoy your long weekend and tell all your family and friends to download and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Shout out, Damien.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media to stay up to date and never miss a podcast.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit ImpressBeauty.com/PressOn and use code PressOn25 at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.